am. You're a good Christian. And while those are extremely key pieces, there's so much more that we can do. And I know time in here talking about casual Christianity and how it just doesn't work to love Jesus when it's convenient to you. And we've talked about the fact that Christianity is a terrible, terrible, terrible hobby to have. It's a super weird hobby. Like, reading, excellent hobby. Golf, frustrating hobby. Christianity, dumb hobby to have. But, yeah, it's not a hobby. And so one of the things that we then have to look at is, what happens when you're on the other side? What happens when you are like, hey, I am committed. I do love Christ. I mean, yeah, you're far from perfect, but you pray. So you talk to God, you read your Bible, you're studying God, you're participating in corporate worship, you're coming to church. Like, what's the next level? How do you get even closer to God? So today I want to walk through 6 different methods, and they're all on your bulletin along with the scripture if you need that. 6 different methods of worshiping God. And then we're going to give you an example of how we've been working towards that in here over the past year. And the first one is worship through observation. Last year, we worshiped through observation by having a pop-up art gallery. So people came in, we decorated the whole elementary school with art. People went, they studied, they gathered ideas, and they worshiped through biblically centered art. And while art is great for worship through observation, the most obvious place that we do it is out here. We do it in nature. It feels so good to be out here with the wind blowing and the sun shining, and you're just amongst the trees and the grass, and you're out amongst nature. So we get to admire the beauty of God's creation. Job 12, 7 through 10 says it this way. Just ask the animals. They'll teach you. Ask the birds of the sky, and they'll tell you. Speak to the earth, and it will instruct you. Let the fish of the sea, they'll tell you too. Which of all of these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? For the life of every living thing is in God's hands, and the breath of every human being. And this actually ties in perfectly with another question that you guys had. Somebody asked, my brother tells me nature is my church. How do I respond to that? So for the person who says nature is my church, one of the things that they need to make sure of is that they are placing their worship properly. Romans 1:25 says it this way, that people tend to trade the truth about God for a lie. So they worship and serve things that God created instead of the Creator himself, the one who is worthy of eternal praise. So we're not here to worship the creation. We're worshiping the Creator. We're not worshiping the art. We're worshiping the cosmic artist. That's what God's asked us to do. Nature, if nature is your church, you have lost focus on what church is and who God is and what God has asked of you. So yes, it is wonderful. Jenny and I love going out on hikes. It's wonderful to go out, go into nature, worship God through the observation of his creation. But that does not replace your need for God or your need for church community and discipleship. Which brings us to our second mode of worship. Our second mode of worship is worship through community and discipleship. Acts 2, 46 and 47 says it this way, that they worshiped together at the temple each and every day, so they went to church. Then they met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And this ties really well into our last question, which is, nature is my church. So it's just me and nature and God. No, that's not how it works. Christianity was not meant to be done alone. It's a group effort. So even if you're coming just on Sundays, it's going to be hard for you. And you guys, some of you guys have found it out, even with a church this size, just to cultivate a deep relationship 5 minutes before and 5 minutes after church, it's going to be a tough game. It's probably not going to happen for you. And God calls us to be in community and discipleship with other Christians so that we can grow both individually and collectively. And the way that we do community and discipleship here at Genesis Point is through our small groups. And I'll tell you, you guys are all over this. In fact, last year, or this year, 90% of you guys have been deeply involved in community discipleship through a small group in one of our two semesters. Like, that is absolutely amazing. And a lot of you guys have said, you know, I love it, I do it, I want to do it again. When do the small groups start back up? I've got a family there. And for those of you guys who are ready to get involved in that, our new fall semester is going to begin the week of September 8th. So we'll be announcing the signups probably next week, maybe the week after that. So just get ready for that opportunity. It's a great way for you guys to be able to worship through community and discipleship. Our next mode of worship, worship through thanksgiving. Colossians 3, 15 through 17 says it this way, that as the members of one body, you are called to live in peace, which is already bouncing back to that last one. We are here to be a community. We are here to be one body. So for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message of Christ and all its richness fill your lives. We're to be teaching and counseling each other with all the wisdom that God gives. We're to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful, that's two, hearts. And verse 17, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks, that's three in three verses, through him to God the Father. And when I say worship through thanksgiving, our minds all go to the same place. That last Thursday in November where we get just a lot of turkey and we hang out with our families. But there is so much more that each and every one of us can be thankful for every single day. And that really ties into our third question. As somebody said, I don't feel grateful a lot of times. How can I be more thankful to God? And this can really get into like a huge wide range of answers. But let's just focus in on being thankful in prayer. Colossians 4:2 says it this way. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And most polls of Americans, when you try to find out about their prayer lives, most polls say that their prayers are based around their wants. So it's, dear God, I want you to heal my mother. And I want you to help me with my marriage because I'm struggling with that. And I want you to make me less stressed about my job. But what is that prayer? It's God, I want. So you're essentially building your relationship with God by saying, dear God, here's my to-do list for you. Get to work. Love, Nathan. And it's like, we often forget to be thankful for what God has done in our lives. So here's a couple of ideas to help you be a little bit more thankful. The first one is to include items in your prayers every day for thankfulness. So I am thankful for blank. For me, I have it divided into two different places, thankfulness in general and thankfulness for you guys, thankfulness for Genesis Church. So that way, every single day, I am thankful for the things that are happening in my life, and I'm thankful for the things that are happening in the life of this church. Second thing that you could do, make a list. I love lists. You guys know that probably a little bit too much, but I love lists. So make a list of all the things you pray for. And I have to have one because I got so many things I can't remember them all, and then I forget somebody, and then I feel really guilty. But make a list of everything that you pray for. And then, okay, how about this? I'll give you a few examples of mine. I pray for our small groups. So excited for our next semester. Pray for the stress that goes on in my life in this position. Pray for my mom and my dad every week. Pray for wisdom in our leadership with our elders. Pray that I can continually grow closer to God. And then once a month or so, I pray, instead of praying, God, I want you to do this, I want you to take care of this, I pray, God, I am thankful for every single one of them. I try to find a way. So, God, I'm thankful that we have such a great family in these small groups. God, I'm thankful that every week is not as stressful as this week has been. Because this week was stressful. God, I'm thankful for my mom and dad and the amount that they have shown me Christ and the amount that they have poured into me. God, I'm thankful for our elders and the wisdom that they display and the wisdom and leadership that we have. God, I'm thankful that I am continually working to grow closer to you. to just continue to find ways to be thankful for every single one of those things. And I really do believe that you can do it. The third thing that I would say is look at your life and just start adding things. Start adding things that you are specifically thankful for. Fortunately, I am thankful that we all have clothes to wear. None of us showed up naked today, and I am thankful for that. You have, yeah, Nancy's very happy for it too. I'm thankful I got food to eat when I go home. I've got a bed to sleep in, that the weather is sweet today. I'm thankful that I have friends and a family and a job. We can all be thankful that we have a God who sacrificed his son so that we could have a relationship with him. So there is a lot to be thankful for when you start looking at it. Okay, we're halfway there. Halfway through our six ways to worship. So it's time for a little bit of a breather. So here's one of your fun questions that you've been curious about. Question number four. What is your biggest cooking fail? And one of the things that I have learned about you guys and the questions that you ask is you love embarrassing stories about me. And fortunately, there are a ton of them. So this could go on forever. But let's just go with the cooking fail. Most of you guys know Jenny is a really good cook. Well, when we were dating, I thought, you know what would be great? I think it'd be nice to surprise her and show her my cooking skills. So she went to class, and I set out to make an Indian dish that's called butter chicken. How many of you guys, out of curiosity, know what butter chicken is, have had butter chicken? Okay, a few of you guys. Okay, good. So much to my dismay, it turned out butter chicken was not putting chicken in a pot filled with butter. So that created a couple of problems in the first place. She goes to class. I start trying to do this. I was like, oh, man, this is like the Indian version of spaghetti. I'm going to like bing, bang, boom, done. I open it up. There are like 20 ingredients, including like ginger garlic sticks and cloves and cashew nut paste and tandoori masala. And you can pretty much tell where this is going by this point. So if we were inside, I actually have a clip, the clip from Miss Doubtfire, because that's pretty much how the entire thing plays itself out. So first, I get out the garlic. Turns out I don't actually know the difference between a clove of garlic and a bulb of garlic. Yeah. Second, I got the tomato paste and the tomato sauce mixed up, and so everything got weird and gunky, and you put it in the pot. And the third thing that happens is I burn the pot. I'm trying to work on chopping up the chicken. I forget about it. I burn the pot. I ruin the pot. I have to go buy a new pot. So this is supposed to take like an hour and a half. 4 hours later, the kitchen is trashed. The whole place smells like burnt garlic, and I have nothing to show for it but one destroyed pot. So it's like, all right, what's it got to do? What's it got to do? Hey, I need 2 orders of butter chicken pronto. And Jenny was never the wiser. Except you guys know that is not true. She figured it out in 3 seconds when the place is destroyed and it stinks. And that was pretty much the end of my romantic cooking endeavors. So now we go out to eat or I plan other dates. Related question, which is the next question. To help you with your life, would you rather have a cook, a housekeeper, a yard guy, or a personal secretary? And with all would you rathers, we'll vote on it. So I'm just going to give you a reminder again. Cook, housekeeper, yard guy, personal secretary. All right. Who says cook? Okay. Who says housekeeper? Okay. Who says yard guy? All right. And who says personal secretary? Okay. So turns out for you guys, housekeeper is the winner. For me, yard guy. And you guys have driven by my lawn. A couple of you guys have made comments. Some of them weren't quite appropriate. But you guys know I do not like mowing or weed eating. It is a chore that I loathe and disdain with a wonderfully large passion. So, yes, yard guy for me. And this ties back into yet another great mode of worship. Worship through service. And Jesus was the ultimate picture of a servant. I mean, for crying out loud, the guy came down from heaven to serve us, even to the point of sacrificing his life for us. So it seems more than appropriate that we sacrifice our time and efforts to care for each other. And we really do believe here that every single person should have a place where they are able to care for this family. So be that in children's ministry or media or setup. But it does beg a question. Question number 6. What if I don't feel called to serve? And I've grown up in church. I have heard this one a lot in my life. What if I don't feel called to children's ministry? What if I don't feel called to help with setup? But often when we say, I don't feel called, what we mean is, I don't want to. I don't want to serve in children's. I don't want to do setup. Well, think about it in a different way. Think about it not as a church family, but think about trying to say that in your normal family. Dad, I'm playing a video game. I do not feel called to take out the garbage today. Kids, I'm sorry, man. I am tired. I do not feel called to cook you dinner tonight. Jenny, I love you, but I certainly do not feel called to get out and mow that stupid lawn, which I hate with a burning passion. I don't. But I know what I do feel called to. I don't do those acts of service because I feel called to do them. I do those acts of service because I am called to love and serve my family. I do it because every time I don't take the garbage out, my family has to do it. Every time I don't mow the lawn, Jenny's got to get out there and do it. I mean, the things still have to be done. I'm just putting an added burden on someone else that I love because I'm saying I don't feel called to do it. And a church family works pretty much in the same way. If we don't serve each other, it hurts us and it hurts the family overall. And here's what I want to celebrate about this one. I almost didn't put it in here because, again, 90% of you guys are already worshiping through service. So we are a family that avidly cares for each other. So here's what God has to say about our service. Hebrews 6:10. God is not unjust, and he is not going to forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to God by caring for these other believers, as you still do. But I did decide to put this in for the remaining 10% of you guys, because maybe you want to get into the game for the first time. You're like, I'm hearing this. I get it. I do want to help. Maybe you've taken a break from serving. And you realize, hey, I've taken 6 months off, I've taken a year off, I've taken the time, I feel good, I'm ready to get back in the game. Maybe you're already serving somewhere and you're like, hey, this isn't really a big deal. I mean, it's 15 minutes a month, it's an hour a month. I could do a little bit more. And you want to volunteer in two ministries instead of one, do children's and setup. Or maybe you want to do the same ministry twice. So if any of those are you, you guys each hopefully have a bulletin. At the bottom of it is a connection card. Grab it, fill it out, or just come talk to me. We will get you plugged in. The serving makes a huge difference both in the life of a church and in your life as you grow in worshiping God. And if you're not worshiping through serving, it is something, I mean, I can tell you, it is a joy and you are genuinely missing out on a wonderful piece of worship that God has for you. Our next mode of worship, worship through giving. You guys probably know where the verse is going. I'm going to throw you a little bit of a slider here. Psalms 89:11. It says, God, the heavens are yours. The earth is yours. Everything in the world is yours, God, because you created it all. You see, worship through giving is a little bit different. It's more of a form of submission to God. So we don't give to God because he needs it. God doesn't come up to us and be like, dude, I am broke. Can I borrow like $5? That's not how it works. God already has it all. It's all already his. So worshiping through giving is really just for our own good, so that we begin to put God above our wealth with the goal that it brings us closer to him. But worshiping through giving does bring up a question, and this one was written in probably 10 different times. And I'm going to give it to you in two different versions. Should we give while we're in debt? The other way that it was often written was, should we go further into debt to give? So I want to begin with a piece of data. According to NASDAQ, the average American household is $75,000 in debt. And sadly, that doesn't include mortgages. $75,000. It went on to say that that means that if only debt-free people gave to nonprofits, nearly every church and every nonprofit in this country would close its doors in less than a year. No Salvation Army, no food pantry, no crisis pregnancy center, no churches. It'd be catastrophic to this country. And the most painful thing about our debt is that studies also show that the majority of our debt could easily be avoided. It's actually self-inflicted debt. It comes from us just wanting more than we can afford and or not being able to handle the money that we do have. So every decision pushes us a little deeper and a little deeper into debt. So let's jump back to the question. Should we give while we're in debt? Now I'm actually going to counter that with a different question. It's one we've discussed over the last couple of weeks. You're asking, should I give while I'm in debt? I'm going to respond to you. Do you trust God to do whatever God tells you to? Seriously, do you trust his plan in your life, or do you think that you know better than God how to handle your money? Do you think you're smarter than God is? And you're like, no, God, I can't give you that. If I give you that, I won't have anything. But having God and having no money is way better than having all the money in the world but not having God. And a lot of us have tried this before, so a lot of us are nodding our heads because we know that it's true. So if you do trust God, here's that surefire way to figure out your giving or your serving or any other piece. And it's guaranteed to work for every single person out here. It's a two-step process. We go through it all the time. Step one, pray about it. And step two, do what God says. That's it. It is super simple. Pray about it. And then just do what God says. Whatever it is he says, just do it. The goal has never been a dollar amount. The goal has been for you to confidently say, I am listening and I am following what God says. So here's our final way, a final way to worship that you can explore. It's worship through outreach. Matthew 25:34 says it this way, that God will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me into your home. I came naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison, you came and visited me. Now, of course, those righteous ones are going to be like, God, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and show you hospitality or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and come and visit you? And God will say this, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you the truth. When you did it to one that was the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me. We have seen time and time again that God calls us to be a representative of him, a representative of Christ to this community. And we know we can't do everything. It will just become overwhelming. But each of us can do something. As a church, a couple of things that we do. First, we give 10% of our budget to assist organizations that help people. Nonprofits like the Food Pantry, Safe Families, Crisis Pregnancy Center. We give 10%. But not only do we give, we participate, and we do it in droves. In fact, in the last couple of years, we have done over 20 different outreaches to this community, and we are still talking about and looking to do more. I mean, just for an example, last couple of weeks, we went to Nathan's house, and we've been there probably a dozen times in the past couple of years. It's the local recovery house, and we just took them dinner, and we spent time pouring into those guys who are struggling with addiction and hearing about their lives and just caring for them. Then, the other thing that we did was another group was preparing dozens and dozens of lunches to help with Spring Hill Church Camp. It was a local church camp where there were 175 kids there, and many of them were hearing about Jesus for the very first time. Just providing lunches so that they can eat, so that they can learn and hear about Christ. So guys, we are continuing to get into this community to show who God is and what he means. And the thing that I'm most excited about is it's happening now organically. Because you guys are finding your own ways. It starts out through the small groups, and you guys start developing these and organizing these. Now you're doing it individually. They're organically coming as you're like, I want to do more. You're finding your own ways to engage. You're going out and searching out your own outreaches and your own nonprofits to pour into. And if you're willing, if you're like, man, I'd love to do that. First place, let me know. We can plug you in with one of these guys. Second place, just pray about it. I'm telling you, if you want to help God, more people know God, God will provide opportunities for you. But those are the six different ways of worship. And there's six of many different ways that you can engage in worshiping past just coming to church or just reading your Bible or just praying. And the goal of every one of these isn't to add more checks to your checklist. It's to help you know and love God more. Because that's the heart of worship, is growing and loving God more. Growing in a relationship with your Creator. You guys are already involved in three or four of these methods, but I hope that each of us is able to at least add one more. Add one or two more methods to your kind of worship toolkit that you are able to use to continue your journey of growing closer and closer to God. Let's pray. God, I pray that we can continue to find new ways to engage in worshiping you. I mean, last week, it was so amazing to be worshiping through reflection, looking at who we feel like we are and then comparing it with who God, who you tell us that you are. I pray that we can continue to worship through observation, through community, through discipleship and thanksgiving, through serving and giving and outreach. I mean, there are so many different ways that we can celebrate who you are, and I pray that we don't take them for granted. I also want to pray if there is anyone in here who hasn't even made that first step yet, that they understand the steps to salvation today. That it's first that they can accept. They're not perfect. Nobody in here is, but that you are God. And therefore, each of us has a debt to be paid that we can't pay. The second thing that I pray is that they recognize the only way for that debt to be paid, since they can't do it, is through your ransoming Jesus on the cross. And finally, I pray that they accept the payment that Jesus gave on the cross and that they begin to live a life freed of debt with you. So God, we pray that each person in here can firmly say they have walked through those steps, that they are yours, and if they have any questions or any thoughts, they feel free to come talk to me or anybody in this room, because we just want everyone to know you. I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for this church, and I thank you for your amazing grace. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.